About 12 million Americans have food allergies, and the rate is rising sharply, according to a study at New York's Mount Sinai Medical Center. In the last 10 years, allergies to peanuts have doubled in the U.S. and in Great Britain, but they remain constant in other parts of the world. So as we like to scientifically ask, what's up with that? Some scientists now think the advice they've been giving parents for years may be part of the problem. And here to explain is Dr. Jerome Groopman of Harvard Medical School and the Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. He wrote about the new research on allergies for The New Yorker. You can read the peanut puzzle by going to our website, herenow.org. As we say, Dr. Groopman, welcome.
Pleasure to be with you.
You start your story with the story of Jill Midland. Now, she's a Long Islander. When she got pregnant, she did what the American Academy of Pediatricians recommended. Tell us what the recommendations were.
The recommendations were very strict. In response to this rise in food allergy, mothers were told to avoid foods that typically cause allergy. Peanuts, for example, tree nuts and so on. You know, the usual offenders, so to speak. And then after the baby was born, to have the baby on a restrictive diet. Not to introduce solid foods for at least 6 months to a year, and not to introduce the culprits, as they saw it, peanuts, for up to 2 years.
Because the thinking was kids are less likely to develop allergies if their immune systems are allowed to get a little more mature so that they can deal with them later.
That was the thinking.
Right. But Jill's daughter, Maya, as you write, blew up like a tomato from head to toe, and she ate a little yogurt. What did she end up being allergic to?
She was allergic to milk products, to tree nuts, to fish, to a whole variety of foods, but most severely to even the smallest amount of milk.
So this is just one case, but obviously the question is, wait a second. Her mom did everything right. She still developed allergies. What is some of the thinking? I mean, is it a flip now, in fact, that in fact maybe we should expose kids to these foods?
Well, no one knows, but the thinking now may be 180 degrees in the opposite direction, just like you say. There were all of these assumptions made by experts that because people in the developing world, Asia, Africa, seem to have such a low incidence of food allergy and breastfed for such a long period of time, the idea was if we just reproduced that environment and kept kids away, infants away from these foods, we'd be like them.
So now there's different hypotheses. One is that, as you said, maybe it's the exact opposite. Maybe kids should be eating these things. Tell us more about that.
Well, there's a fascinating allergist, a pediatrician in Great Britain named Dr. Gideon Lack. And he said just because a child who is already allergic should clearly not be exposed to these foods, it doesn't mean that if you are just born, you'll be protected from allergy. There's a logical mistake. And this was extended because he actually went to Israel and he was giving a talk in Tel Aviv. There were several hundred pediatricians and allergists in the audience. And he said, how many of you have seen a child with peanut allergy? Now, in London, where he works, or here in the United States, you know, every hand in the auditorium would go up.
Right.
Two or three hands went up out of several hundred.
Huh.
And he said, gee, you know, Israel's a relatively developed country. And he saw a research opportunity because the Jewish population in Tel Aviv is only one generation different than the Jewish population in London. So there's not going to be a major genetic change in the course of 20 years. So he did this fascinating study where he looked at not only the rate of allergy to these common foods like peanuts and fish and tree nuts and sesame and so on, which were almost absent in Tel Aviv and very, very frequent in London. But he discovered that the mothers in Israel give their kids this peanut concoction called bamba, which looks like a cheese doodle, but it's made of peanuts. And from the time the infant is there, he or she is sucking on this. And he came up with the contrary hypothesis that maybe we're making a big error. Maybe we should be exposing kids to these kinds of foods early in life rather than protecting them. And that way their immune system learns how to adapt to them and we can actually lower the incidence of allergy.
Well, this is part of something called the hygiene hypothesis, meaning we're just too darn clean.
We're too darn clean. When I was a kid and growing up in a working class neighborhood in New York, I mean, we were rolling in the dirt. We were, you know, wiping our nose on our hands. Not that this is necessarily the most attractive way to grow, but this was life. And now, you know, we've got hand sanitizers everywhere. And if a kid sneezes, it's like he's put in isolation. So the idea is that we need these microbes to educate our immune system. And it turns out that our vision of the developing world was also wrong. Clearly, in the developing world, there's a lot more exposure to microbes. But it turns out that mothers in Asia and Africa don't just breastfeed. They actually chew the food, what's called pre-mastication, chewing themselves.
Like some animals do.
Like animals, like a mama bird.
Yeah.
There are no grinders and blenders in the bush. And then they put the food in the baby's mouth.
So he's saying what? What does that mastication do?
He says that this is another bit of observational evidence. It's not definitive. It's not 100%. But it indicates that we may have been completely
wrong.
The wrong track.
Well, a couple things. First of all, I can hear a parent who has a child who has a terrible allergic reaction. Their throat closes, you know, thinking, I'm not going to take the chance. But again, to underscore what you just said, you're not saying give children that have allergies peanuts and shellfish. You and these researchers are saying start early on as a preventive thing.
Correct. They're two completely different groups of kids.
Where does the research leave us then? What would you recommend that parents do?
I think that they first should be aware that there is no agreement in this area. No one really knows what to do. And as Gideon Lack, the British iconoclast, says, unfortunately, leaves everyone in limbo, but that's where we are right now. I think that those who want to participate in these kinds of research studies who have healthy kids could certainly do so. But it appears that right now, if you want to feed your baby these kinds of foods in obviously palatable ways, ground up and soft, you're not committing a crime. If you have a child who is severely food allergic, definitely try to connect with a major center where that child might be desensitized and be able to live a much safer life.
Dr. Grubman, thanks so much as always.
Great to be with you.